Welcome to the Grace Chapel podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We're so glad you're here. Before we get started, we want to remind you of the importance of being connected into a local church body. Podcasts are a gift from God, but are meant to be supplemental and not substitute or replace the gathering of the saints in worship in the Word. With that being said, we pray that this teaching would bless you, equip you, and encourage you in your walk with Christ.
So for those of you who don't know, I'm Bob Spencer, better known as Jake's dad. We've been praying for Jake. Tooth issues are horrible. And so we've been praying for him. Be praying for me. Just a disclaimer. I didn't find out until after 11:30 yesterday morning that I was going to be doing this. And it's not normal for me to be preaching somebody else's message, but I'll be doing that this morning too. I had a run-in with the printer. Anybody ever had a run-in with a printer? Oh, man. So Jake sent the notes to me, and, you know, I could read them fine on my iPad, but because I needed to make some additions and changes and put the Holy Spirit through me into it, I printed it off. And so when I went to print it, you know, there's a place there where you can adjust the size of the font. So I'm like, okay, Lord, when I had my mini stroke, I lost half the vision in one eye, so I'm going to up it by 25%. So I did. And guess what printed out? Little bitty letters. So when you see me going like this through the message this morning, you'll know why. So we're on part four of 1 John. And so the first part was Jake bringing the word on God is light. God is so good. He shines a light no matter how dark it is. I mean, consider the darkest thing you've ever gone through. The darkest. God's light was there. God shines a light in darkness. Part two was Crystal bringing the word on walking in the light. And then last week was Jake doing Jesus' advocate, commander, and guide. We had such an awesome time in our life group going over that part. I mean, we need all of that. We need God to be our advocate. We need God to be our commander. And we need God to be our guide. All of them. You know, we don't just pick and choose what God does. Now, granted, we'll pick and choose what we receive, what we accept. But we don't pick and choose what he gives. And he gives it all. Okay, so today is part four, and Jake is calling it the New Old Commandment. So we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And I'm just going to go ahead and read them all, and then we'll go back and dig in. And here we go. 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11. Is it bigger? Oh, man. I need your printer. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. There's some good stuff there, and there's some hard stuff there. Makes me think of, you know, I had so many words spoken over me this morning. I really don't know where to start and where to end, how to get to them all. But as we go, I'll try and get them all in. When I was 12 years old, I was the oldest of five siblings. The youngest was one, my baby sister. And my mom left my dad, left him with five kids. That was kind of a time of darkness for me. You know, at 12 years old, you really don't know what's going on, yet you realize it's not good. You know, there's just not something good here. And I really came to a place where I had a bad heart towards my mom. And it wasn't until, how many years was it, babe? 30 years later that we finally found her. And the reason we found her was because God had healed my heart towards her. I had gotten saved, and I just felt like God said to me, you need to forgive your mom, and you need to find your mom. And it took, 24 hours after we determined we were going to find her, and we found her, and she was like an hour away from where we were living. And she had been there all that time. But it wasn't until I recognized that I was causing that darkness because of my bitterness towards my mom that I could get healed and that I could let the light shine in. So sometimes we need to look at where is the darkness in our lives and how do we get the light of God to shine on it to where we can see it. Let's go ahead and look at 1 John 2, verse 7, and we'll just kind of take them verse by verse. 1 John 2, 7 says, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. So let's stop right there with the first word, beloved. I love that. You know, if you'll remember back to verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children. I mean, those are endearing words. We talked about that in life group. Those are endearing words. Those are awesome words to be hearing from God. I mean, John wrote it, but where'd he get it from? That came from God. Beloved, my little children. And, you know, I was looking into that word beloved yesterday, and where does it show up the most? Song of Solomon. Now, I'm not a gushy, romantic kind of guy. You can ask my wife, and I apologize to her. I'm just not that kind of guy. You know, on my route that I drive when I'm working, I go past this flower shop. And I think about her every time I go by it because they have roses for $9.99 a dozen. And I think I've stopped a couple times, haven't I? I mean, that's not normal for me. But I guess the Lord convicts me and has me stop. Anyway, the word beloved comes up in the Song of Solomon 32 times. Now, what is the Song of Solomon? You know, most people will say, this is Jesus and the church. So 32 times in the Song of Solomon, Jesus is saying, church, beloved, I love you. You are my spouse. You are who I love and want to be closest to. That's what Jesus has for us. So another thing in this verse 7 that I want to take a look at is the word commandment. Now that can carry a negative connotation. I mean, who wants to be commanded to do something? You know, if it's something you want to do, no problem. But if it's not something you want to do, what is the first thing you want to do? No. I don't want to. But there's another way to translate that word commandment, and that is authoritative prescription. Think about that. Authoritative prescription. So when we're sick, we go to the doctor. What does the doctor usually do? Write you a prescription, right? And what is that prescription supposed to do? It's supposed to make you better. And so God's commandments, he's authoritative, yeah? I mean, would we all say God is authoritative? Yeah. And his authoritative prescription is the commandments that he gives us, because they're for our good. And so while this current culture isn't into being commanded to do anything, they're for our good. They're to help us get better. Love has always been God's command. I'm going to read from notes here for a little while. So the Ten Commandments, which are in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and I'm just going to run through them real quick, were to have no other gods, no idols, do not take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath, honor your parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. Now you'd say, well, that's Old Testament. We're going to look at that. Let's look at Jesus' answer when he's asked, which is the greatest command? Mark 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, I wonder what he thought he was going to get. You know, they were arguing, and Jesus answered them well. So I'm wondering if he was hoping for a well answer. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Sounds like he wants it all. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So then Jesus affirms and summarizes the law in two statements. Love God, and he's quoting there from Deuteronomy 6:5, which covers the first four of the ten, which is no other gods, no idols, do not take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath. Love God. So Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Then he says, love your neighbor, which he's quoting Leviticus 19:18, and that covers the last six. Honor your parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. Love your neighbor. Leviticus 19, 17 through 18 says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So far we've been talking about 1 John verse 7, talking about the old commandment. I want to know about new commandments. What are the new commandments? So we're going to look at 1 John 2:8. Now remember, verse 7 was the old commandment. Verse 8, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Jesus made it new because these commandments were true in him. He fulfilled those. He is who those are. John is saying they are true in us too because we're in him. So, love, old and new, them and us, all because of Jesus shining his light through us. So let's look at how Jesus made these commands new. We're to love all. We're to love all. That can be hard. But he said we're to love all because he doesn't want any gray areas. There's going to be light or there's going to be dark. There's no gray. So either you're going to love somebody or you're not. So some of the examples are, everyone is your neighbor, which came from Luke 10, 25 through 37, the Good Samaritan story. Another example is, love your enemies, Matthew 5, 43 through 44. Love at its best is sacrificial. That's John 15, 12 through 13. So what do we need to do? Jesus didn't just say all of this. He lived it. And because he shines his light through us, then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to live it as well. He loved and ministered to Samaritans. He loved and ministered to Roman soldiers, to prostitutes. He loved his enemies. He died for them and forgave them even as they were killing him. I mean, that sounds pretty hard. I mean, I don't know that I can be having somebody immediately impressing on me that they're going to kill me, and I'm going to say, oh, bless you. Thank you. I love you. I mean, he's really going to have to shine through me to do that, but he can. He was love at its best. He was love. God doesn't just love. He is love. He's more than someone who loves. He is love. He laid down his life for all. So John's saying this is true in us as his people. If we're following him, if we're living for him, if we're giving our all to him, then he's living through us. And so we can love those who don't love us. We can love those who hurt us. We can love those who frustrate us. We can love those who do all kinds of evil towards us. We can. I don't know about y'all, but we don't always. It's hard. But we can. So now the litmus test for all of us. Jake has in his notes, where the rubber really meets the road. How do we? First John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Ouch. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So walking in love is doing what's right, is loving well, is allowing the light that shines through us to overcome our feelings. You know, instead of our feelings, what are the Holy Spirit feelings that live in us? So those are what have to overtake us. Jesus calls us out of darkness into the light. So be careful that you don't settle for walking in the gray. Remember, we talked about the gray. There's light, there's dark, there's gray. We choose where we walk. Jesus' words and actions showed us there are no excuses to write people off and stop showing love. That was really what bothered me about the situation with my mom. At the time that God convicted me about it, I was walking in the gray. I mean, I was over hating her. I didn't hate her anymore. And I was an adult. I didn't need her taking care of me. I didn't need her taking care of my siblings. I didn't need her loving my dad. You know, he had moved on. I had moved on. But there was just something inside that I knew wasn't right. And that was because I had some bitterness about what she had done. And the Holy Spirit showed me that I was walking in that gray. I wasn't in the light, I wasn't in the dark, but I was in that gray, and it wasn't a healthy place. And you know, the story was miraculous of finding her, and we got reunited, and through finding her and getting reunited with her, she got reunited with her mother, which they had been at odds with each other all those years. Her brother, they became best friends again. I mean, it was amazing. She even came and stayed with us for a couple of days. It was awesome. That's what God can do. If we'll just give up our feelings and let God shine his light through us. So, you know, whether it's a brother or a sister or a parent or a child or a friend or an enemy, whoever it is, we really need to search our hearts for where we can get rid of that darkness or that grayness. John is saying that when we hate someone, then we are now walking blind, and we can be fooled into thinking we're walking rightly and feeling totally justified, when in reality we are way off course. That reminded me of, Crystal, what you talked about last week when your dad tells you, Only look straight ahead when you're driving. My wife tells me that all the time. Why? Because you'll veer off, which she says I do all the time too. But yeah, we need to keep our eyes straight on the road so we don't veer off. You know, back when we were in the DR, the directors of Josiah's House Orphanage, every morning we'd have devotions with our staff. And one morning, the Lord gave me this example in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And good. I don't have it in my notes. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, here's what I want everybody to do. I want you to go and reach behind you. Everybody, just reach behind you. When you do that, can you see what's ahead? Okay, you can quit reaching behind. When you're doing that, can you see what's ahead? No. When you're reaching behind you, looking back at bad situations, bad relationships, angry at someone, angry at something, when you're reaching back and holding on to that, you can't be looking forward to what God has for you. So I would just challenge you, and I think the word challenges you too. Have you excused yourself from loving someone as Jesus would? Have you created a category that gives you an excuse to stop loving someone? Ouch. We do that. So in conclusion, have I gone long enough? Well, I remember when we were in the DR and I would preach in the DR, we'd go an hour and a half, 2 hours. No? Okay, I'll quit. This morning, let us consider the love of Jesus, and then let's see if we are truly walking in the light, so we may continue to be perfected in love instead of stumbling in the dark. So I just want to encourage you. This message today isn't about commandments. It's not about making sure we understand commandments. What my heart's desire is for this message this morning is that we would be healed. We would be healed of the darkness. We would be healed of the grayness. Is that a word, grayness? And that we would let the light of God shine through our lives for others, for our healing, for ourselves, and for one another as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ from Song of Solomon, his beloved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And it's true, it's alive, it's good, it's healthy, it's healing. Lord, I do pray for healing this morning. I thank you that we were able to pray for Andrew's healing. Lord, we lift up anybody else that's going through some physical ailments. God, that you would touch them physically. Lord, those that need healing in their hearts, those that are grieving lost loved ones, those that have bitterness and anger, those that need a heart touch from you this morning, I pray that you'd do that. We thank you, Lord, for your love for each and every one of us. Regardless of where we are with you, you don't care. You love us all the same. And Lord, I pray that we would all receive that love in the manner that you give it in total. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.